The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Are you making the most of your KiwiSaver investment? Generate is an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of strong long-term performance. Making a smart decision now could add tens of thousands of dollars by the time you reach retirement. Book a no-obligation chat with a Generate KiwiSaver advisor today at generatekiwisaver.co.nz/getadvice. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited, and of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns.
You're on the Offspin. It's the Spinoffs Cricket Podcast. My name is Alex Bray. I'm joined by Simon Day, and I'm very excited to tell Simon that I've discovered the secret to being up overnight to watch Test cricket.
Do you think we should start with my apology?
We can get to your apology.
Okay. Tell me your secret.
Secret, and it's very scientific. It's about proper hydration. So basically what you want to do is your water intake. You want to front load that as much as possible into the morning session. So that will be about 9:30 to 10 o'clock. The pain in your bladder that you cause will keep you going until at least 2 or 3 in the morning. And by that stage, you know, you're so committed, you may as well just get through the entire day. And it doesn't have to be water as well. It could be one of the products from the beer spot.
One of the 40 different beers that they have on tap.
One of the at 5 locations across Auckland. It could be one of them. And funnily enough, the beer spot is who sponsors the Offspin.
Pick up a couple of flagoons and fill your bladder.
Okay,
before every night of the test.
So what do you want to apologize for? What do you have to confess?
I've let the audience down.
Oh no.
I've let the black caps down.
Oh no.
And I've let myself down.
Oh, no.
And I looked at the tweets coming out of Southampton and thought, after staying up the whole game on Saturday night, I thought it looks like a good chance to get some sleep and get up for the second half of the day. So I went to bed at 9:30 and I woke up at 3. My wife is a florist, and she gets up very early to go to the flower market. So I got up with her. You know, I had some motivation there. She prodded me and pushed me out of bed. I turned on Crick Info, and they were all out, and we were 40 for none.
How did you feel in that moment? Did you feel sort of stunned in a positive way, or was it regret?
It was both. It was like this conflicted feeling of deep regret and just insane excitement as well.
Yeah.
I'm a deeply rational person. I believe in things like free will to an extent. And for the first time, I sort of believe today in the higher power of the universe, because almost everyone I know, my friends, family, and colleagues, love to laugh at my expense, but in a kind way. And today I thought the universe pranked me.
It did.
So I'm going to take responsibility for a bunch of those wickets. Having gone to sleep, the universe thought, I'm going to put on two of the greatest sessions in New Zealand cricket history without Simon there to watch.
Quite possibly, I can't remember a better spell of bowling than what Kyle Jamieson sent down. I really can't. It was that good.
Because if the universe was a I would have woken up and Virat Kohli would have been 150 not out.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. But as it happened, he didn't add a single run after. Sorry, I'm just still a bit flabbergasted that you dropped a C-bomb on this podcast. It's just, wow. Wow.
It's fine.
English language is a powerful thing. I can really take your point, though, about putting a... I saw your message on Slack at about 9:30 saying that you're going to go to bed and wake up for the evening session, evening UK time. And I can really sympathize with why you thought there wasn't going to be any play, because one thing that has sort of defined this test so far is it really seems like the umpires are finding reasons to not play cricket rather than finding reasons to continue playing cricket. And there was this remarkable moment during, must have been about maybe 9 overs into the New Zealand innings last night, when the rain did start to come down a bit, and it looked like it was just going to be a passing squall. And basically, the umpires, they lowered the stumps. Latham and Conway were more than happy to go off because it was a reasonably testing spell of bowling. And Kohli and the Indian team were just like, nah, we're just staying on the field. We're not going anywhere. And within about 3 minutes, the New Zealand openers were back on the field as well. The rain had stopped, and the umpires had kind of, it almost seemed like, you know, it's hard to know because you can't hear the conversations that they're having with players, but it almost felt like they had lost a bit of face. Like they had decided that the play was going to stop, and the players almost seemed to overrule them. I mean, I'm not sure if I've completely misinterpreted what we could see on the TV screen compared to what was actually happening on the field, but it was a very defiant sort of display from India, saying we would rather play cricket than not play cricket, and frankly, good on them.
To be honest, if I was an opening batsman, I'd scurry off as fast
hell
as
yeah.
I
could. Hell yeah, hell yeah.
I was getting PTSD of opening the batting as a child, but for both these innings, it looked so rough out there.
Yeah, as a former child opener as well, it's awful. It's such a bad job.
It's one of the worst jobs in sport. I was trying to think, maybe a front rower? But front rowers love scrumming, you know?
They do, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
It doesn't look like opening batsman unless you're Matthew Hayden.
Yeah, they don't love playing and missing 3 times in a row.
No.
Against unplayable deliveries that are just slightly too good to get them out, you know?
And there's like some bravery and stupidity to it, and God, it looks tough out there. And our openers got very, very lucky. They did very well.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, so Alex and I combined to basically watch every ball of the day, which is, you know, we hadn't thought about doing it in shifts.
Yeah, but it worked.
Could be a way forward.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got very lucky quite a lot and played pretty well quite a lot.
Well, yeah,
this morning.
And it was really strange to think getting up this morning. So I went to bed at maybe about 20 overs into New Zealand's innings or something like that. And it looked like the openers were very settled and they were just going to basically play out the day as defensively as they could, which is fine. But it was weird to wake up this morning and look at Conway out for 52, or I think is what he got, and he got out very late in the day in the last over. And it was weird to look at a New Zealand opening batsman scoring a 50 and thinking, oh, they've kind of failed there.
I'm not going to call it a failure. I'm going to call it he made a mistake. They both made mistakes to get out. A couple of attacking shots that weren't necessarily saw them dismissed. A much slower ball from Ashwin saw Latham through early on his shot and Kohli take a pretty good catch. And then signal to someone we're not quite sure who.
Yeah, what was that all about? I mean, because to me it looked like, watching the highlights this morning, to me it looked like he pointed to the crowd and then did like the shush gesture, which is something that you kind of do when you've got a really hostile crowd who you've just silenced.
He's actually done that to me personally before. Not shushed, but the groin whack.
Sorry, wait.
I spent 2 days abusing Virat Kohli from square leg at Eden Park during a test match, and he took a very good catch, and he turned around and told me about it.
He did like the how do you describe that? You get both your hands and you kind of slap the outside of your groin.
Yeah.
I mean, if you saw it, you would know exactly what the action is, but it's a very hard one to describe.
It's one of the top 5 moments in my career.
Wow.
Having a personal interaction with Virat Kohli.
Yeah.
He's also great. I've watched him play in India, and he's also very good at getting the Indian crowd involved.
Absolutely,
because they can be a crowd that's all in, and then they can go quite quiet.
Well, that's one of the things that I find so compelling about him as a cricketer is that he understands that he is, starting it there early.
Brought to you by the beer spot.
He understands that that professional athletes are kind of performance artists. You know, they are not necessarily just there to show sustained technical excellence and achieve the right results and all of that. They are fundamentally, they are people who make their living off entertaining people. And he really gets that. And I find that really interesting and really exciting to watch.
I think he's got a lot better at it.
Yeah, probably.
He was previously perceived as a bit of a dick.
Yeah, and maybe still is. Maybe.
I enjoyed his interactions.
He talks very respectfully about opponents now, which I quite appreciate as well.
And I enjoyed his interactions with the New Zealand bowlers a lot more than I previously have. He, you know, like the wide-eyed respect and a couple of... It seems like a much closer relationship. He had a really good conversation with Kyle Jameson, his IPL teammate, as they walked off the field. I have to acknowledge that my relationship with Virat Kohli has improved over the years. from the moment previously described to... should we call it mutual respect?
Should we?
Can we?
Can we? We're just going to take a very quick break there.
For Alex to compose himself. And for us to acknowledge our wonderful sponsors and the members.
Kia ora, my name's Duncan Grieve and I'm managing editor at The Spinoff. This podcast, like so much of the work we do at The Spinoff, is made possible by the support of our members. To find out more about The Spinoff members and how you can help us keep producing quality, independent journalism, visit members.thespinoff.co.nz today.
Kia ora, I'm Sophie.
And I'm Simon.
And I'm Alice, and together we host The Spinoff's food podcast, Dietary Requirements.
Join us each month as we explore a vast culinary landscape. From the gourmet,
ooh la la,
to your more hearty tucker.
Kiwi onion dip, anyone?
Everything's on the table in Dietary Requirements.
Subscribe wherever you listen to all your other favourite podcasts.
So the bowlers, when they came out today onto the field, I mean, what a dominant and confident performance from them.
I don't think we've ever seen four New Zealand bowlers this good at the same time. It is the best attack we've ever had as a package.
Oh, easily.
They're complementary, yet distinct. There's height, there's heart, there's swing.
Mm. Well, they talk about the pace quartets of the West Indies of the 70s and 80s, and this is not pace.
The medium fast quartet of 2021.
Yeah, the nibblers and dibbly-dobbly bowlers and, you know.
Maybe the best attack we've had since Gavin Larson, Rod Latham, Chris Harris and Deepak Patel.
Hell yeah.
In 1992.
Hell yeah.
Definitely different vibe. But what I loved was the real power move of the four bowlers lined up on the balcony when we were batting. It was like sledging without saying a word. They were just standing there, you know, embracing the rest that they were getting because of their performance. And, you know, like every time the Indian fielders looked up there, they were like, oh, shit, we're going to have to bat against that at some point.
yeah. I do actually wonder if there was an element of, you know, just putting themselves in the eye line, as it were.
Definitely felt that way.
Mm.
You know, it felt like muscle. You know, just like showing off your muscle.
The nicest possible way that you can play mind games without being credibly accused of playing mind games.
They should have gone out in singlets.
Yeah.
It was quite cold, though.
Yeah, singlets and jandals. Have you seen Doug Bracewell on this tour, you know, when he's just sitting around the boundary just looking like he's at a family barbecue or something? Like, he's loving it. What a tour he's having.
I'm really passionate about Doug Bracewell. I think... you know, again, what deep stocks we have. We haven't seen Doug pick up a ball.
No.
And he's been around the team for a very long time. One of those players that has done a great job in maturing and no longer, you know, standing on glass at parties and stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah. The thinking man's Jesse Ryder, as it were. And the way that the game is poised now, that's super, like, we don't exactly know because the weather looks kind of shitty tonight. But
it looked shitty last night.
Kind of shitty last night.
I made the huge mistake
then. But when Williamson and Taylor come out to bat today, there's almost a feeling of like they will walk out and that moment will be something of a culmination of their careers almost.
It's an iconic opportunity.
Mm.
The match is, you know, on a knife edge. They're two of our greatest batsmen of all time.
Mm.
They've brought this team to where it is together.
Yeah.
And it could be Ross Taylor's last ever test match. Could be the last time they ever bat together as 3 and 4.
It seriously could be. I mean,
could be the last time they ever run each other out.
Here's hoping. Here's hoping Ravi Jadeja will make something happen.
Put
for
on
them.
200 together something and special. Jadeja runs them out.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with that.
That would be so cool. But yeah, like, I mean, a player like Ross Taylor, I think commentators and pundits, including less well-informed ones like myself, have been retiring him for quite some time now. But there isn't probably... I mean, if New Zealand does win the World Test Championship, wouldn't you just stop?
Wouldn't I would. You just he's, be like, he's 37 years old. Will you Young like, is waiting.
Yeah, wouldn't you just be like, you know, that's that. Wouldn't you? Especially if you played a leading hand in making it happen.
And it's been a roller coaster of career for Ross Taylor, and I think it would be amazing to go out in that way. Even as long as I don't get a pair or something. No matter what happens, it's already been a really good test match. Like quite two perfect days of test match cricket. Really
two beautifully matched teams playing quite different styles, really.
It was interesting to see the graph of the swingometer, I'll call it.
The what?
Measuring New Zealand's bowler's swing versus the Indian bowler's swing.
Oh, yeah. And I'm guessing the New Zealand bowlers were getting quite a bit more.
So Tim Southee got the most. The other four got about this. Other three got about... No, four. Other four bowlers got almost exactly the same amounts of swing. And then Shami was getting almost as much swing.
Mm.
And the other two were way, way down.
I really like Shami's vibe. I don't know what it is about him, but he's one of those professional cricketers who just like I'm talking purely aesthetically here, and a lot of it is about his bald patch but
and he his looks wobble
and his wobble. But he looks like a cricketer from a bygone era, you know, when they were just dudes,
or a cricketer you could find on a Saturday afternoon playing for like Cornwall at age 45.
Yeah. Yeah, and being that like wily quick bowler who takes 50 wickets a season
and a bit vulnerable in the field.
Yeah, yeah.
Although
yeah,
it was Shami who caught Conway with a couple of quick steps to his left.
So I only saw a little bit of it on the highlights because it didn't look like an awful lot was happening off their bowling. But how did Ashwin and Jadeja go?
Not a lot of spin.
Mm-hmm. That's positive.
But it was really interesting to hear the commentators talk about the way spin bowling and batting against spin has changed now that the DRS is involved.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot more opportunity to get people out LBW.
Really?
People are playing, putting their bat a lot more in front of their front pair.
Right, because I have this memory of Test cricket from the 90s where people would just, like, they'd start playing football against spinners.
They talked about West Indian batsman Jimmy Hooper? No, Carl Hooper.
There was Carl Hooper. There was Jimmy Adams.
Jimmy Adams. There we go. Well done. Yeah. And they talked about him basically playing football.
Yeah.
And you can't do it anymore because you can really test.
Absolutely. And the flexibility that an umpire's call ruling gives you, if it's like just about out but not quite and you don't lose the review, why not take it?
And they talked about the way that that's allowed both Jadeja and Ashwin to bowl a lot more at the stumps,
mm.
searching for that front pad, which was interesting.
Yeah, indeed. So they could still be a bit of a threat, is what you're saying.
They're very good bowlers. They're always going to be a threat. They've taken one of the wickets so far.
Yep.
And that was based on, it was a trap.
Mm.
And I think that might have been Coley's intention when he pointed at the crowd.
Oh, with his
I think he was talking to his coach.
And saying.
Yeah, lob it up and Latham will hit it in the air. And because it was a slower ball, it was more flighted, and it took a wicket.
We should start wrapping it up here because I'm starting to fall asleep.
Alex is taking the day off, which I didn't think was within the rules of.
Well, I'm not really taking the day. I'm still writing bulletins at the moment. I reckon I managed to get today's bulletin out with no really egregious typos. But I haven't checked my emails yet, and people email me a lot
typos. Did you acknowledge, I haven't read the bulletin yet, do you acknowledge your lack of sleep near the top?
No. I don't want to break the fourth wall in that particular space. When we're just talking on a podcast, it's fine.
don't want to make excuses.
No. You know, you want to, like, would the Black Caps make excuses about putting typos in their newsletters?
Did Richie McCaw played that entire World Cup with a broken foot.
Yeah, and then he probably sent some perfect emails out after that game
and didn't tell anyone.
He did not make any excuses. So,
what do you reckon Richie McCaw's email manner is like? Brief?
Terse,
yeah.
I would say. Terse. But we are going to be on Weather Watch overnight, and it's looking pretty bad. That's my understanding. It's looking like way worse.
It's first day, so it's only 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
but I haven't been on southamptonweather.com.
How fucking sick are you of knowing what the weather is in Southampton? You know,
I reckon I would use Southampton now as a like a microcosm for climate change, because I know exactly what the weather looked like in June 2021, and I'll look again in 5 years and be like, oh, sunny.
Yeah.
It was like 22 degrees. Climate change.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign. Yeah. So, I mean, we might be back tomorrow morning. If there's a lot of play, we will be back tomorrow morning. If there's a little bit of play, who knows? If it's very pivotal play, we could be. But either way, we will definitely have an episode on Wednesday morning, because that's looking like, you know, Tuesday night, the weather forecast in Southampton, my new favourite app shortcut on my phone. It's looking very good, and that could be the winning or the losing day of this final.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you to The Beer Spot for making the offspin possible. Thank you so much, Tina Tiller, for coming in nice and early on a Monday morning to get her day underway with us. Thank you to Simon. And remember to subscribe to The Offspin on Spotify so you get all of these episodes just turning up.
These are the beautiful sounds of Pink Cola by Samuel Flynn Scott.
Oh, and sign up for Spinoff Members.
For Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.